Well, thank you for having me here tonight. This is my first time visiting. A friend of mine, Robin Rowe, evidently put me in contact with this group. And Robin and I go back a long ways on some computer stuff. But basically, I started off doing video editing and photography for oil companies back in the Midwest. I'd go on drilling rigs and videotape processes and crazy stuff like that. And then I moved out to California to work in the TV business. And a crazy thing happened, the internet came along. And so I jumped over to that quickly. Let's lower that maybe. And became a multimedia producer, making little clips for online, E-Online, which was E-Entertainment's website. And did some game work online with them, and always was interested in animation. Even when I was a kid, I was going, wow, cartoons, you know, it's amazing. And never thought in a million years that I would get to the point where I could actually make a cartoon. And I'm still working on that, actually. And unfortunately, I'm not a trained artist, so that's going to probably, that works against me a little bit. But I'm getting there. One of the programs I use is Blender. It's a free program to download. It works on Linux, OS X, and Windows. It started on SGI way back in the day and a few other platforms along the way. It started back in the mid-90s. This is managed by a group out of the Netherlands. And so this used to be an in-house program for an animation company that made commercials and stuff like that. This was their in-house tool. That company went under. They tried to sell the software, couldn't get traction, and they finally open-sourced the program. So they have a foundation that kind of manages the software. And then they have another group within these people that make little short movies, animated movies. And when they make an animated movie, they add more features to the software. And then other people, you can be here in the United States, you can do what's called an add-on. It's kind of like a plug-in for Photoshop or something like that, and add functionality to the software. So what's funny is you go to the Blender site, and it says right there in the middle, just free and open source software. It doesn't say what it really does. And so it does do a lot of different things. I went to the Wayback Machine, I went to the Wayback Machine, which is old websites from long ago, so this was 4 or 5 years ago, and it said that Blender models, and create little models, make an airplane or car, animals, people. You can color those. You can animate them. You can composite those into video. So you can put like a little animal with a video that you've created. An interactive 3D, which is a game engine, very simple game engine. That was 7 or 8 years ago, and they'd added a lot of functionality. So what I decided to do was show you just some little silly thing that you can do with Blender. This was shot outside of what you can do with Blender is that effect of the laser lightsaber. Almost guarantee you that this was done in Blender. I don't know for sure, but since Blender's free, and these are young kids, I'm going to guess that they use Blender. And this is some of the fun stuff you can do with Blender. You can really get lost in the program. If you've ever used Photoshop, it's a very complex program. This is like 20 times worse than that. So what they did was this does what's called motion tracking. So what you've got is you've got a stick. You put a marker on it. And then you tell the computer, here's the mark. Please keep up with that mark. Okay? So then this is what's called a bone. And you're going to put one end of the bone at one marker and the other end at the other marker. So right there is just kind of like what it's going to look like. And now you're going to make the actual light tube, laser tube thing. This is called modeling. And you just go through. You can start with a primitive, a change of primitive. You can start with a box, a ball. Or you can just start with nothing on the screen and just go from there. But basically, you're making the round, you're rounding the top here. You're going to kind of round that off, make it nice. And then this other thing called, this next part is, and now we've actually got green, so we're getting close to that Star Wars look. And this is what's called node compositing. So a lot of the modern graphics programs that does special effects uses these little boxes, and they're all connected by what they call spaghetti wires. And each time you add a box to the sequence, it will change what's happening to what you're working on. So in a little bit, you'll see the lightsaber kind of glows a little bit. So, you know, last time you saw it, you just saw a green color. It wasn't emitting something. And then pretty soon they'll put the image back there. You can see the green back there a little bit at the top. It's not very bright. But now you've got a little bit of emitting light. And now there's the color. And this node compositing is very popular with a lot of these graphics programs. Typically, graphics programs, it costs $1,000 or $2,000, but with Blender, it's free. You can make all these adjustments. Now, I've not done that much in node compositing because I didn't grow up with that, but all the young people really like it. They seem like they tell me 15-year-olds can just pick this stuff up in 2 seconds flat. So Blender now has what's called camera and object tracking. So the sword is object. You're taking the stick out. You're putting the lightsaber in. The other thing I want to show you is called camera tracking. So you've got your video camera. You're going to videotape something. And then later, you're going to put something into the scene. That hole is not in the road. Someone put the hole in the road. There's the road. But see, you've got the little markers, little light markers all over. And what this guy's going to do is he's built, starting to build the hole, and he's going to composite that in the shot and ultimately create a hole, and it just looks like, you know, it works. And how this, and Blender Guru does this. So this is the Blender Institute out of the Netherlands, and they make what's called open movies. And now what Blender is, it's a creation suite for small teams and artists. Oops, I didn't want that to go backwards, but it did. That's okay. And it supports the entirety of the 3D pipeline. So you start with nothing. You build your character. You add the special effects. Basically, you can make a Shrek or a Toy Story. I mean, from starting from nothing. It does the whole thing, and plus a few other things. Game creation, and now this virtual reality. Yeah. Okay. Where's the 3D part? And we'll be getting to that. So let's see here. Now this is a movie, an open movie that they shot, and these are some of the special effects. This weapon on this guy's hand was probably just a coffee can, you know. They put the little markers all over it, and they rendered a really nice weapon for the guy. And he's about to use it. Well, all the little robots that are coming in are related to Blender. They shot the scene. Now the camera's dollying in. Now the next movie is Big Buck. Now this was an earlier movie. That was about 2012. That was called Tears of Steel. No, that was a 10-minute movie that this Blender Institute made. Yeah, and so I don't think they spent all that much money on it. Now, the one at the end of the show, they spent about $500,000 on, and they got about 10 minutes, which is still pretty low when once you see. Now, this was done in 2008, big buck money, and this is 3D all the way. Everything in this thing is 3D. They made the models. Not for this. They could do the fluid simulations, so the water. And this is 2008, so this is 8 years ago. And this is good. It's not great, but for 2001, this was pretty good. And you can see the grass leaves. And they were good at getting a kind of a cartoony, you know, kind of a cartoon life to the bunny here. So I'll just let this roll for a little bit. They just chose to do that. There's a lot of software that's called open source. It's free. Now, they get funding from companies that want to advertise on their website, stuff like that. So there's other ways they can make a little bit of money. But now there's some evil little characters in the forest. Not the butterfly, but some other little animals. Now Blender, since it's based out of the Netherlands, a ton of people use it in Europe. Whereas we have Maya and a few other 3D applications here in the States that are commercial, almost all of Europe uses Blender. And it's starting to become fairly popular here in the United States. Okay, now, Glass Half was done last year. This is 3D animation, but they make it look 2D. And we'll see a few seconds here. I really like the look of this. My project is 3D animation. I wanted to make it look 2D. But these are little 3D characters that are actually turning around. It's just that the rendering is different. They have what's called a cartoon render. And I have a still of the female character. Her name is Min, and the guy's name is Max. Min and Max. What's interesting about Blender is, and there's the 3D character on the right. You can see that her mouth has a rig.
Look at that!
Now, what they did was they just added a gibberish language to this.
Ooh. Mm.
It's a totally made-up language.
Oh, I think I don't.
More guys. They're basically looking at art and discussing it.
Green cock.
Fornicane.
Mandon.
Shallow. Peter.
But everything was done in Blender. Everything that you see. All the balls, all the little swishes. That video editing, all done in Blender. Now, the video editor is not Final Cut Pro. It's not fast. But you can do video editing.
Whoa.
Is that born
hat? Is that a key?
We're on a sword blade!
Wow!
Zwack! Zabako!
Zubatiga!
Now, one thing you can do is if you join what's called the... Now, sometimes they put assets up on their website for free. They'll give you the character, Min or Max, and you can download the whole character. You can play with it. If you join what's called their Blender Cloud, which is $10 a month, you can download all the assets to all the movies. And so you can really see how they did something. And you can make a change. In fact, the scene where the guy had the weapon in his hand... was redone as a Chinese. They took all the actors out and put Chinese actors in and redid the whole movie. And it was just amazing. And here it is the Blender Cloud. Now, this is interesting in that what's fun about Blender is that people can get very interested in one particular area. And for a while, they had a thing called grease pencil. And all it was, you could take your cursor, and you put a little mark in your scene to just help you. Like, I want the ball to land here. You could just put a little mark, grease pencil. Well, some guy took the grease pencil and just made it into a full 2D. You draw each frame by frame, you know, and you can now do 2D animations in Blender. Now, these we're going to see two short versions. One is just where it's full frame. You see the whole image. In the second version, he does a few cutaways or close-ups. Same thing, and we have a few close-ups thrown in. Yeah, you did it inside the program. Yeah, now you can't scan and import, I don't believe, but you actually drew it in the program. What's happening is there's a camera that the guy's moving around to get the close-ups. You're still working in this 3D environment. And a 3D environment is very much like a regular stage. You've got lights, you've got a camera, you've got a stage. And in a second, you'll see the work environment a little bit, the creation, the environment that you see when you're creating it. And all it is he's dealing with, they're 2D, there's no depth to those characters, but he's twisting it around to show you what it looks like from the side. And there's the camera, the thing with the little triangle at the top is the camera that will ultimately take what you're seeing in the cartoon. And it's very unusual. I mean, fortunately, I worked on a stage a lot, so I got used to using a camera, moving it around, and moving lights around, so you now do that virtually. And then they show some of the tools they built into this, how they can manipulate a 2D character. You can twist them around. I mean, it's just amazing some of the tools they built into this. And this was just somebody that just got interested in a particular feature of Blender and just went crazy with it. Now, sometimes an add-on, depending on how they want to manage the software, just becomes part of the program. You don't have to download it separately or turn it on. They just kind of ultimately say, well, it should be in the main program, and we'll just put it in the main program. Blender is actually a small program. It's a 50 meg download. When it installs, it's about 150 megs. And considering all that it can do, it's pretty impressive. 7 or 8 years ago, it was like 20 megs. Like, installed, it was 20 megs, I think. It was really small. But they've added quite a few elements to it. But this is, at the bottom is a timeline that shows you the frames at the bottom. And, you know, you can go through and see, and then over on the right side are like stuff like colors. And now you can put a 3D object in there. See, that bench is 3D. It's got depth. But when you see the finished project, not so much. Now this is a modeling. They're going to model a mouse, a ninja mouse. And this is just part of a little mouse. And what this guy does is really smart. It's really important to have reference material to create stuff. So he's going to have two drawings, the front of the mouse and the side of the mouse. And so he can place those in a 3D environment. And when he does that, it just helps. There's his mouse. There's the front. There's the side. And then that will just help him as he's actually creating. So think about, you're just working with clay. You're just going to work with clay, and you're just going to, you know, almost kind of create this character from scratch. And so right now he's going to start working on the torso. And this is a speeded up. So, you know, this would normally take 2 to 3 hours to view all this, but this guy recorded it and speed up the process. Now, each one of these squares that you see are called polygons, and the more smoother and the more complex a 3D model, the more of those, you know, your polygon numbers start increasing. So right now, he's got a leg going in his torso. He'll get up to the head here in a little bit, just making some little tweaks. And then there's the front and the back. And he can just keep twisting that around to kind of keep, you know, everything in the right size. Later on, in the video after this, they actually put the skeleton in the little mouse where you can manipulate. Now, YouTube has got thousands of videos on Blender. Just thousands. Amazing. There are some companies that post a lot of free video content. They also, beyond a certain point, charge. So you get some instructional stuff for free, but I would probably say 90-something percent of what I watch is just YouTube videos or Vimeo. There's instructional videos on lynda.com. That's lynda.com. And this is my cartoon characters. This is what I'm wanting to animate. And so I've got these, my little characters are called mostly heads because they have no torsos, arms, or legs. They're just mostly heads. Someone told me, make a comic book before you make a cartoon. Because that way, and then here's just a few seconds. Now I did that. I created the 3D models in Blender and put them in Apple Motion with a plugin called M-Object. And I did that in Apple Motion, but I wanted to do the whole thing in Blender. A lot of people do certain things in Blender, then kick it over to another program. Just to show you what this looks like again. Now, there's some technical things to this, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to contact someone in the Blender network, and that's people from all over the world, and you can contact them, like this guy's in Melbourne. Little airplane means he will fly to you if you've got the money. He will fly to you. Other people say, the worst thing where we are, we'll do Skype. Or, you know, you send files to the Internet. So this is a walk cycle. Now, the little gray area, that's what's called bones. And so what you create a clay figure. I call it clay figure. The mesh with all these polygons. And then you give this a skeleton. And that's called a rig. And then you attach the mesh to the bones, and then all you have to worry about is moving the bones around, and the mesh just goes with it. So you do walk cycles, control the arm, the head, by just moving the bone. And then what you do is, you know, you go 8 frames down, you lift the foot up, you go 8 frames down, lift the foot down, now you've got a foot stomp, you know, and then the computer will figure out the frames in between. I actually took a real life in between in class from an old Disney animator once, and which was good. I enjoyed it, but the computer just makes it a whole lot easier. So this just shows you, you know, how you manipulate things. And this could be anything, not necessarily just a human figure, but it could be a mechanical device. It could be a construction, something in construction. It could be wheels on a car. So there's a lot of different uses with Blender. You could do presentations with Blender. You can put text. You can put text in. You can make the 3D looking text. You know. So there's a lot of different things you can do with this program. It is kind of a Swiss Army knife of sorts. Now, another thing this can do is, people use Blender to create the files for 3D printing. So it is the most popular program to create the files if you want to print something on those little crazy 3D printers. And this just shows the process of putting a bone in and then adding, and you just build a skeleton inside the little character. And you just keep extending it. And adding, and then those are just, that will become the joints. You know, he'll be able to bend in his belly and then his neck or his head. And it just depends on, you know, what you do is you learn by trial and error what kind of works and what doesn't work. Or you watch someone else's video and find out how they got it to work. This guy didn't give this character a separate neck bone. He just went from, you know, the top of the collarbone up to the head. So that may be enough. So that shows the boning process. Let's see here. The next thing here. This is the top. These are going to be games. These are games that people have made in Blender. Now this stuff at the bottom, that's the stuff that people have to do. That's the logic of the game. That's when you know, if a character does this, this happens. If a character does something else, this happens. So the square book, this is the authoring environment in a sense. But this is the actual game. This is just a little marble that rolls along. Now, Blender's game engine is primitive. It is not. This is a little bit better. It's still, you know. So most people that work in games build models in Blender and then put them in what's called Unity or some other game engine. But they can do part of the work in Blender. And depending on what you want to do with Unity, whether it's free, you do have a very small game, it's free. If it's bigger, you pay more. But this shows you some of the, you know, this is kind of like a little mystery game that you walk through and you try to figure out things. Jump just down here a little ways. So I want to get to our movie here. This is the video editor part of it. what you're seeing there are the bars are different video clips. So there's three video clips. The green bar that you see that goes up and down is the playhead. So wherever that bar is what you're seeing up on the top screen. So if you would pull the green bar back, you would then see the middle video clip further back. So this clip I think I had in earlier, actually, that goes through all the compositing, motion tracking, video editing, and virtual reality. So what I wanted to show you now, these are the resources that are coming up. I want to talk to you about those real quick. Not so much in the program. There is a little search thing within the program to find certain elements, but really all the help is on the on the outside. And there, Blender.org itself has a very print, kind of an online print manual for the program. Now, this was done last year. This pretty much can show you, this now Blender can really compete with anyone. This shows, this is good as, DreamWorks, as far as I'm concerned. This is pretty good looking stuff. This is called Cosmos Laundromat, and it's about a sheep. It's on a very desolate island. Runs into a man, and this man says, "Hey, you should try something else," and sends him on a very big adventure.
No!
You see, the grass looks a little bit better this year than it did in 2008. The trees and the fur on the sheep, it's just amazing.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me.
Oh, come on.
You have a moment, sir.
I'm kind of in the middle of something here. Yes, thank you.
I've come a long way for you, Frank. My name is Victor. Hi. And you are Frank. You are so much more than just a sheep, aren't you?
Oh, yeah? How would you know?
Look at you. You're an adventurer, Frank. Just like me. You're a lone wolf. Tell me, does one choose to be alone? No, one doesn't. One doesn't even choose to be a wolf. Or does one?
Well, Mr. Hector...
Victor.
I don't know what you're on about, but I'm just a sheep minding its own business. I suggest you do the same.
No, Frank, wait. No, this is not the way. Just give me 1 minute of your precious time.
Precious time?
Yeah, just give me 1 minute. You would have one more minute, wouldn't you? Okay, half. Half a minute. I knew it. Ah, you will not regret this. The adventures you will have. All the lives you ever wanted. All you've been missing. Here, this is the best product we have in store. Variable spin speed, excellent tumble performance in one handy device. Squeaky clean.
Well, this better be good. It took me ages to tie that rope with my f***ing hoofs.
No more need for hoofs. No more sheepy business. Oh. Time flies.
Wait. How does this thing work? I mean, how do I make it work?
No, you don't. I just turned it on for you.
When can I go? Where can I go?
We will pick you up. Don't worry. Just stay here. In this exact place. Don't move. Just wait.
That's it? Hey! Wait, mister! Casper! Hector, whatever!
Thank you. that was each washing machine is going to be a different episode. They want to make 10 episodes. Now that cost $500,000, and it took about a dozen people to work on it for about a year. But again, when you join the Blender Cloud, you can download the entire, all the assets. You know, you get the characters and everything. It's pretty amazing. So I will have some of my cards up here if anyone wants them. And any questions?
Is Blender the sort of software they would use at Industrial Light and Magic?
Yes. Now, I had a friend that's worked at Rhythm and Hues, which did The Life of Pi. And they actually, he ran into a problem that their software couldn't do, and he jumped into Blender and did an effect or something that actually wound up in the movie. Now, each studio in town has their own software that they write from scratch. All the animation studios run on Linux only. But sometimes something, you know, if you're familiar with Blender, you know how to make it something working, jump over, use it, and then, you know. So it can be used anywhere. Yeah.
This is called CGI, computer-generated imagery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And finally, at the beginning scene where they got the boy with the lightsaber.
Yeah.
You said that you call that what, a
match moving.
A cord or a foam or a...
Well, what they do is they, in order to, you know, to have something to hit, they have sticks. And then they take the sticks out via an effect. So the sticks have like a couple of dots on them, two to uh-huh. three dots. And so they're out there with like just sticks hitting each other with sticks.
Yeah.
And then through the software, it allows where that green bar to go. And it just takes the other one out.
You call it a name, a cord or a foam, a board, a... Couldn't quite make it up. You had a name for it.
Oh, well, a bone. It's a bone.
A bone?
Yes, a bone. And you saw it was a kind of a big at the bottom, it got small at the top. Mm-hmm. And it's just how Blender, you know, what you do is the top of the bone is one point on that stick. The bottom of the bone would be the other point.
I see.
Then you attach the bone to a mesh. Give the mesh a color, and then make it glow. So
I see.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's working.
Talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see an Apple on your computer.
What was that?
It says only for Apples.
No, Windows and Linux, all three.
Great.
Yeah. Well, now that's a very good question. Well, now you can author, you can create stuff on a relatively low-end computer. I actually have done a few weeks ago on a Kangaroo little computer, which is a $100 computer that you can get at the Apple Store, Microsoft Store, right? You saw guys sell Kangaroos. And then I just hooked up a monitor and worked on it on just a $100 computer. Now, I didn't render. The rendering is where you get the final frame. You want a powerful computer to do a lot of stuff. Now you can do a few frames, or you can go off to lunch and come back, and there'll be 7 seconds of animation. But Blender does like a dedicated video card. So and they also like prefer NVIDIA video cards. Their technology somehow was built to use NVIDIA video cards. And so typically you can use a pretty sophisticated system. I mean, it's still not going to cost... You can, you know, spend $1,500 and get a fairly decent 3D animation versus an SGI computer of 10, 15 years ago that was $20,000, $30,000. And you can do more with the one now than you could with the one then. So it's amazing how advanced this stuff has gotten. Also, if you have a... Now, these frames here on this project, they take a lot of time to render just one frame. And they probably send them off to what's called a render farm, which is just racks of, you know, computers that are generating that. But there's online services for even that now. So you just send them your small file, And you say, how much would it cost to render this? And they go, oh, that's $7. And, you know, we'll send it to you tomorrow. So you don't have to have the world's biggest, baddest computer. You can use a lot of online services. It's crazy.
Other questions?
Do you have, like, any workshops or anything that you could have, like, a few people, 5 or 10 people, to bring their laptops and maybe answer questions?
I would be up for doing something like that. I have not done that. I used to teach a flash animation a long time ago at a little school up in the valley.
Because it's fun and it's not as intimidating to do something like this.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
It is amazing. You can do a lot of different stuff. And, I mean, once you can see, you know, you can do, basically, I could have done the presentation that you saw tonight in Blender, but I'm more familiar with Apple Motion. So I put everything together, all the video clips, the stills in Apple Motion, just because I'm familiar with it. And I've been using it for years. So, but you could have done the whole presentation in Blender. You just put those video strips and put them next to each other, and boom, there you go.
It's very similar to Opto.
To what? It is. It's amazing what they've done. And now SIGGRAPH is coming up. It's a graphics trade show, world-level graphics trade show. It's coming up at the end of July downtown. No, maybe it's in Orange County. Maybe it's in Orange County this year. Yeah, I think it's in down by Disneyland. Anaheim Convention Center, I believe. And Blender will be at that, and they also have a presentation that's actually free. It's called Birds of a Feather Presentation, and you don't have to be signed up for the trade show to go see the Birds of a Feather presentation. And they usually give a 2 to 3 hour demo and show what's and talk about what's coming up, and such. The computer language for the add-ons is Python. The program itself was written in C, predominantly. Some of the newer elements, the game engine and cycles rendering that the sheep was done in, rendered in, C++. And then there's a little bit of Python code also in the program, but mostly in C.
Now, Darren, I think it might be useful to let the audience know that the way in which I got in touch with Darren was through Robin. And Robin had come to one of our past meetings. And I asked Robin to come tonight, but he had another engagement. His friend had a birthday party. So I am making arrangements with Robin to come and visit my school in the fall. So in line with what Gail is asking, you know, maybe I can coordinate to make sure that we put on a special training at my school, which is right here at La Tierra. And so Robin and Darren can give a presentation, maybe a day presentation, so that anyone who's interested can come over. And it's something I can coordinate with my principal. And I think Stanley also, who teaches at Venice High School, I think for high school kids, this would be most informative.
Oh, absolutely.
Really informative.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of young kids that use this program. And if you watch half of the YouTube videos that you watch on instructional stuff is kids that are 20 or under, basically. And they'll have kids that are 14 years old that are just putting on full-on tutorials that go for 30 minutes that are just amazing. Just amazing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a kid that used to do a tutorial series with his dad, and it was very cute. The kid was like 6 years old. And then the dad would let the kid do some, and he'd do some.
So you're therefore suggesting that Blender has an educational component to its software whereby educational institutions can use it for classroom instruction.
You know, classroom instruction, you can really do a lot of different things with it. And you kind of have to jump in. And here's the thing, you almost have to know what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you take whatever you're thinking about doing and then put Blender in front of it and do a search.
Sure.
Because there is so much it can do. It's kind of hard to just go in and start learning everything from scratch. You've got to go, I want to do a motion graphic, or you can do an opening title for a TV show, or then that narrows it down.
For example, you know, I teach life science, mm-hmm. and I had my students draw out the human skeleton and use popsicle sticks on paper to outline the human skeleton. This is something they could have done in Blender.
Yeah, and you can download the skeleton, you know, and then and manipulate the skeleton. And there's a lot of free assets out there. And then there's some that, that you may only pay $5 for or $10 that, you know, would take you 3 days to model, and then you pay someone $10 and you got it, you know, and you can use it. So, there, you know, there's a lot of just amazing resources out there. And, you know, there's forums. There's a forum called BlenderArtist.com. That's very good. There is, that's also got, and BlenderNation.com. Blender Nation and Blender Artist are both two really good resources. Blender Nation covers news and tutorials, new tutorials that people publish, and news about the software and news about add-ons. And so, because there's so much going on, people are working on Blender all around the globe. And there are two to three kind of points on the internet where people kind of converge at. Blender Nation and Blender Artist are those two of those locations.
I guess you would agree. I mean, not just for educators. I mean, we were all young people at one point. You know, I'm amazed how much kids love to draw. Mm-hmm. They can really express their understanding by drawing it out. Mm-hmm. Paper. And I think this is a powerful tool whereby they can use software to enhance their comprehension of concepts. Other questions or comments?
Roger. Yeah, you have not addressed the audio. You've only done the video part. Now, are there libraries of music, voices, sound effects, and whatever you haven't talked about?
Now, the source audio, the actual WAV files, and you're basically on your own. Now, the video editor, you can import the audio into the video editor and move the audio around and synchronize it. But audio is kind of just, since audio can go to so many different editing programs, it's kind of treated generically. It's not like tied to Blender. It's just music is music for Final Cut Pro, Premiere Editing, Blender. So it's considered like but you can put the audio into Blender.
Horns and bang, boom, bang.
No, there are libraries that you can get. Yeah. In fact, you can get some of the old Warner Brothers, libraries.
Roger, it makes me think of the rap music. These kids, my kids would come up with a rap just for their animation.
Well, you know, when the rabbit was getting the little fruits hitting up against the head, those were kind of like those Warner Brothers type sounds, right. You know, from way back.
So, originally in the Netherlands?
Yeah. And very nice people. The guy that's been with it since 1988 is named Ton, T-O-N, Rosendahl, I think. And he'll be at Seagraph. And very nice gentleman. And it's just interesting in that it started off as an in-house animation tool. They tried to make commercial software with it, and now it's freeware. And, you know, and it keeps getting improved. There's hundreds of people that work on this. Most of the people part-time, they have like 8 people that are full-time, but you can be anywhere, and you just say, Blender doesn't do this. I want it to do that. And so they get someone, codes it, and boom, there you go. Now, there was some of the, when I was talking about the cartoon look, you know, with the 3D models, but you got a cartoon look, that was worked on almost separately for about 4 years. It wasn't part of the Blender program, but people had it where you could get it. It just wasn't officially recognized because they didn't have it all work, you know, didn't have all the flaws out of it yet. And then once it got to the point where everyone agreed it's good enough, it's good to go, then they put it in the main branch of the software. So they don't want to discourage people. They don't want to put stuff in the program that would, you know, it's too difficult or breaks. They really kind of keep their eyes on that. And, you know, so sometimes something will be developed for 4 years on the outside. All the that 2D cartoon look was just like 4 years, and you had to go to a different location to download it and everything. It was crazy. I would look at it every month.
I mean,
how do they make money if it's free?
Well, now the cloud Blender cloud is $10 a month. Now, and it's a 3-month minimum to start, and then after that it's just $10 a month. That gives you access to all the assets of the previous movies. Now I just started up my own subscription just recently because I wanted to download Elements for this presentation. But now I'm going to download some the Glass Half. I'm going to actually download that because there's a girl that worked on that who was the art director. She's on the Blender Network, and I kind of wanted to look at what she did, you know, with the actual real files before I started talking to her about my project. Kind of maybe get an idea of what she did. Maybe, I don't know. Might not be, you know, but I'm going to try. So that's one way.
Yeah. You mentioned you work at Fox.
Yes.
What do you do without giving away any
secrets?
I do
audiovisual support. I'm a projectionist also. But Fox has a lot of presentations, and they come in different shapes and forms. I mean, it's PlayStation, it's online, it's whatever. Now it's used to, I'd go and get the films that were in the big canisters and get them on a two-wheeler and throw them up on a projector. Now they download a digital cinema package and I just hit go. So it was more worrisome when you had to switch back and forth between projectors, but you know, it was kind of fun. I like that.
Other questions?
Yeah. Now there are a couple of there are a couple of meetups, Blender meetups, and so there's one group that meets in the marina, so that's not far from here. Oh, also, what's very unusual, next month is going to be the 3rd anniversary of my wedding, and the reception was right here. So this is kind of like, ooh, okay. When I found out where it was like, okay. But it's kind of interesting to return here, but under very different circumstances.
Thank you.